This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSiN Prime Time. Matt Brown in here on the desk with Mark Melusis today as we run through all the action going on in the sports world. A very busy day in Major League Baseball, an incredible amount of rainouts and delays and all kinds of everything, Mark. So we'll try to keep everybody up to date on what's going on with all of that. Tons of football, as you guys know, we put out our NFL betting guide. So we're going to start to go through all that stuff, get Mark's opinions on some of these teams out there, some of these divisions, who he thinks might be on the up, might be on the down, whatever it might be. But how you feeling out there, buddy?
I'm good, Matt. It's good to be with you. You know, it's a holiday week. 4th of July is right around the corner. We got plenty of baseball going on, and teams in New York struggling a little bit when you're looking at the Mets and the Yankees. The Brewers surging. Got an interesting game tonight with the Chicago Cubs and the Guardians. So fun time. Good night to be on with you, and I'm looking forward to the next 4 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. 4th of July is coming up. What do you think of the hot dog eating contest? Is this a thing that you're into, or does it, where does that fall on things that you're
into? Is a little strong.
Yeah.
Into is a little strong. Like, I don't know. Like, I think it's good to have on in the background. Like, I think, you know, I'd never travel out there to Coney Island. It's a pain in the rear end to get to, and the mob scene out there, but it's great that Joey Chestnut's a part of it this year, because I don't think you can have a hot dog eating contest without the greatest hot dog eater of all time being a part of it. So last year was kind of a little bit of a step back, but so it's great that he's back. Well, I have it on in the background for sure. Is it appointment TV in the Melusis household? It is not, but I would never partake in it. I would never do anything like that, but I think it's interesting, entertaining TV for the better part of a half hour.
It's weird. As I got older, the less I got into it, because the more I started to realize like what that does to a human body. I think as I was younger, I'm kind of like, oh man, I'm into this. This is great. It's whatever. And I get older and I'm kind of like, I can't even fathom what I would feel like if I even attempted to do what these guys are doing. So yeah, it's weird. As it is gone, I'm like, whatever. Let's get to some of these games that are about to first pitch here. The Yankees and the Blue Jays. After the Blue Jays just absolutely stomped the Yankees yesterday, we've got Will Warren on the hill, Jose Berríos going for Blue Jays. This is -135 Yankees on the road as favorites. Blue Jays, +111. This is all at DraftKings, by the way. 8.5 is our total. You think this Yankees team rebounds?
Yeah, I can't tell you with a ton of confidence. I think Warren's going to give him a quality start. I do like the youngster, and I think he's had some hiccups in certain innings. The problem you have here, Matt, when you look at this Yankee team, is Aaron Judge last 20 games is hitting .220. There was a lack of depth in that starting lineup a year ago when they had Soto and Judge, and obviously now Juan Soto's a New York Met. So then you get to the aspect of this team. The Yankees like to play dumb baseball. They really do, whether it be the errors in the field, whether it be the base pass, whether it be losing track of outs. You saw that with Jason Dominguez earlier on in the season, and they're not good enough to be able to overcome that. This was a division that they had well within hand about, 4 or 5 weeks ago, and now they're hanging on for dear life. I know we haven't even hit the All-Star break. It's a long baseball season, and we even saw the Yankee team a year ago struggle, even though they made a run to the World Series through the American League. Do I think they win tonight? I think Warren will give them a quality start. With the way that this team is playing right now, I don't know if I'd lay -130 on the road in Toronto, because that Blue Jays team, with Springer's grand slam yesterday on Canada Day, taking advantage of errors in the field. You saw with Jazz Chisholm at third base yesterday. This team for the Yankees right now is gasping for that All-Star break.
Yeah, Mark, I before the season, I actually played them to miss the playoffs at a pretty decent plus money price. And a lot of it had to do with the rotation and just the everything around Judge. It was obviously, I knew Aaron Judge was going to be awesome, but it was just the everything around Judge. And you had Goldschmidt start out great, and he started to trail off. You're sticking LeMahieu out there every single day on his last gasp of what's going on with his career. So I don't know. I'm with you. I don't think that they're dead, but boy, they, like I said, they could certainly get to this All-Star break. Reds and the Red Sox. This is in a few minutes as well. Nick Martinez against Bernardino for the Red Sox. This is -121 in favor of the Sox at home. Even money. Reds on the road there. 9.5 is the total. And I took a little bit of a stab here at 9.5 on the over side of this, Mark. Looking at the weather, we're getting about a, we're getting some 10-mile-an-hour, 11-mile-an-hour breezes blowing out there. And we know runs, you just bang it off the wall out there in Boston, and it's actually blowing in that direction. And looking at both of these starters, I have no confidence that we can't keep this thing under the 10 runs. So a little bit of a stab here for me on the over 9.5.
Yeah, I like that. I took a little bit of a, I'm not telling you on that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't take, I don't love the total in the game. I kind of like Boston in the game as a, you know, a minus 121 favorite. I think they're sitting at right now, or minus 124 when you look at it. I think the Red Sox, number one, I think they're going to be able to take advantage, obviously, of the dimensions up at Fenway Park. I think, as you said, not exactly a strong pitching matchup when you're looking at both starters on the mound tonight. So I do think runs will be scored. I agree with you. I think there'll be a bunch of runs scored. I'm going to take Boston, a high scoring affair tonight at home against Cincinnati.
We've got another first pitch coming here momentarily, and is going to be our game of the night.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
The Brewers and the Mets. This is currently, at least over at DraftKings, minus 113 Brewers on the road and minus 107 Mets at home here. 8.5 is our total. And I'm going to go ahead and play the rookie here, Mark. I have loved what I've seen from Mizorowski so far. A guy going out there in three starts right out of the gate with a ridiculous nearly 34% K rate, 13% swinging strikes. He's keeping these guys off balance all over the place. Now, you want those walks to come down just a little bit, but I think maybe the more starts he makes, the more comfortable he becomes in the bigs. And then also, you just look at the way that this Brewers lineup has been hitting the baseball over the last month, and that is something I can buy into as well. I know the other New York team here in the Mets probably begging for the All-Star break as well as they continue to fade. So give me the rookie to go ahead and get it done on the road. Give me the Brewers here on the money line.
Yeah, second game of a doubleheader. Brewers knocked around the Mets earlier this afternoon. I'm with you. I mean, how exactly, Matt, do you sit here and make an argument for the Mets based on what you, based on the starters, right? Brazelbon's going to open tonight for the New York Mets, and then you're going to see Blade Tidwell, and you look at Carlos Mendoza. He's hoping that he's able to carry it a ways coming out of that bullpen. But Brazelbon, who's been terrible, I think his ERA is north of 14 in his last, like, 15, 16 appearances, and he was pitching to an under 1.5 ERA at the start of the season. The Mets bullpen's gassed. They had two hits today. I mean, that earlier this afternoon against the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, you mentioned in terms of the favorable pitching matchup for Milwaukee, you've got a swing and miss guy, all 6-7 of them. A Milwaukee lineup that's playing, that's scoring runs in bunches, as you saw earlier today, and you've seen for the better part of the last month. I don't think, other than gut feel, or, you know, you're wearing your Met underwear, like, I don't see how you make an argument for the New York Mets, other than maybe it's difficult to win a doubleheader. I mean, that's basically it, because this Mets team is playing as bad can be. Bullpen's not particularly good. Starting rotation has suffered a cavalcade of injuries, and the lineup outside of Lindor, Nimmo, Alonso, or Soto, outside of those four, nobody else hits.
You guys have not seen Mizorowski pitch yet. I mean, I can't promise you he's going to light it up tonight. He is a rookie and only making his fourth start, but I can tell you his stuff is absolutely electric. If you look, he's throwing about 100 miles an hour, got a really great cutter, slider, changeup. His stuff plus, if you go and look at Fangraphs, is all rated in the elite category. Gonna be one of the next big stars here coming up. I can't promise you it's gonna be tonight, Mark, but this is a dude that I've had fun watching for the first three starts for sure.
Oh, he's great. I mean, there's no doubt. And listen, I think if you're looking for, you know, guys to kind of hang your hat on, and guys that are going to be able to take the baton, Mizorowski out of Milwaukee is going to be one of those guys, because he's a little bit different, right? Throws the ball 101, 102 miles an hour. The velocity is on point. You love the swing and miss stuff. He's going to get better as long as his arm holds up and he stays healthy, and knock on wood that he does. So, and tonight he has a favorable matchup. So, I mean, to me, it's either Milwaukee or nothing. You know, I have a hard time going out there making an argument to take the New York Mets, because you look at, you got a swing and miss a hitter, you got a swing and miss pitcher for Milwaukee, and you've got a lineup for the Mets that's struggling. And they've been, one thing the Mets lineup has been, Matt, as you know better than anybody else, they've been terrible with runners in scoring position all season long.
One more first pitch coming in about 5 minutes. If you want to get involved in this one, Angels and the Braves. Braves are minus 138 favorites at home here in this one behind Didier Fuentes. Kikuchi is going to be on the hill for the Angels on the road there. That's a plus 113 dog, 9.5 the total there. Nothing for me in this one. Didn't see anything that I liked, but hey, maybe someone else does.
Yeah, you know what? I don't have anything. I don't have a great feel. Atlanta, it's been a miserable season for the Atlanta Braves. They just suffered another pitching injury. Schwellenbach is done for a while as he suffered a fracture in his elbow. So, I mean, you know, whether it be him, whether it be Chris Sale, it's crazy when you look at the Atlanta Braves, the amount of injuries that they suffered this year. I can understand why they're a favorite at home in minus 145. To me, it's a stay away. I wouldn't touch either one of the – I don't like anything in this game, Matt.
Coming through here as we got about a minute left, Knicks going to hire Mike Brown as their next head coach. Does this just seem like, well, he was the guy that said yes? I mean, like, what is this move?
I don't know. It's great. Listen, I would never have fired Tibbs, man. Yeah. I mean, I really wouldn't have. I would not now. There's a lot of politics that go behind the scenes at Madison Square Garden, especially when the team is owned by James Dolan. I think at best, it's a lateral move. Yeah. Like, at best. Like, that's it. And so, like, the Knicks fan that couldn't wait to get rid of Tibbs and the minutes police and saying that, you know, he played his starters way too long and didn't develop the youngsters and got to have a deeper rotation, even though they went to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years, in steps now Mike Brown. And he's coached in Cleveland, he's coached in L.A. with the Lakers, and he's coached the Sacramento Kings. I mean, he's got nearly a 60% win percentage in the regular season. That's great. Do I look at him as being the coach that all of a sudden is going to put the Knicks over the top and help them win the NBA championship for the first time since 1973? Not necessarily.
I am with you 100%. If you're going to go Mike Brown, I don't see the difference. Why do you get rid of Tibbs? I mean, like, you know, if it wasn't some sort of splash hire, if it wasn't something really that is a game changer, I don't get it. When we come back, we said it's an NFL heavy show. We're getting right into it here on Beeson Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN Primetime here on a Wednesday. Matt Brown, Mark Melusis in for the guys as we roll into football season. Guys, as you have heard on the network for the last couple of days, we did go ahead and get that NFL betting guide out there. No better time to go in and become a VSiN Pro subscriber than right now. These betting guides, not just for the NFL, but we'll have a college football one coming out. Of course, we do everything throughout the course of the season. Really pays for itself just in the saving you time and all of the research and stuff like that. I cannot tell you enough how much work goes into these things to make sure that you can head into the season with confidence and making sure that you're on top of everything. What coaches went where, what players went where, who's still waiting in the wings out there. So again, go in VSiN.com/subscribe. As little as $9.99 if you want to get going, and also $175 for everything to do now through the Super Bowl. And one of the things that is in there, a special section dedicated to nothing but the MVP. And it is certainly a talk that everybody likes to have, Mark. I mean, we're looking at a league now where all of these, I mean, you could make a case, I think, that nobody would laugh you out of the room for probably 10 different guys, because this league is starting to really fill up with stars. And you start to look at the top of the odds board here. Lamar Jackson, 5.5. Josh Allen, 5.5. I completely understand it. I understand why both of these dudes are where they're at. They do things with their legs. They do things with their arms. They're going to be on very, very good teams. I cannot poke holes at them being in the top. That said, betting a guy at 5.5 just isn't really my style. So I can't get to either one of these guys.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, Matt, I think the only one I'd play would be Lamar. Mm-hmm. Like, the odds of Allen, you know, and there are some that still believe Lamar should have been the MVP a year ago, right? So based on the season that he had. So do you really think Josh Allen is going to have a good enough year to where then he's going to win back-to-back MVPs in the regular season? To me, that's difficult to imagine. It's a quarterback-driven award. We know that. Mm-hmm. It's got to be a ridiculous year by any other player in order to garner any sort of interest. But But yeah, I'm not interested in either one. But if you were to ask me which one would I play, I'd take Lamar Jackson at plus 550, and I would never touch Josh Allen.
Now, I cannot promise anybody out there that this is going to be the case, but typically with these short shots as well, Mark, I tell people to kind of pump the brakes, mainly because the odds aren't going to change that incredibly much in the first couple of weeks of the season as it is anyway. And so you can hold out, see what happens the first couple. I mean, you know, there is a world that exists, specific with the early schedule for the Ravens, where they lose a couple of games. I mean, like this, these odds on Lamar, if you like Lamar, I mean, this could get out to 750 or 8 or 9 or something like that if they stumble here early out of the gate. And so that's another one of the deals about the short shots is, unless things break just absolutely perfect, you might be able to get a better number sometime in the first month or so of the season as it is anyway.
Yeah, Matt, I totally agree with the logic. I think now if you're looking at this market before the season starts, the word is value. You're looking for somebody that you think has got great value to where their odds are going to dip during the course of the regular season. And the best price you're going to be able to get them is right now. Mm-hmm. And you could easily make the argument looking at the two guys that are at the top of the market, and they should be, right? Because you look at Lamar Jackson, you look at Josh Allen, how could they not, right? But if you look at those two based on similar logic that you just mentioned, Matt, and you and I are sharing a brain on it, is that I might be able to get a better price or the same price.
Right.
2-3 weeks into the NFL regular season. So if I'm going to get the same price then, why would I now take that price in July?
For those that are watching with us on YouTube TV or on our VSiN Watch app or whatever, that Ravens schedule at Buffalo, yeah, you're going to win at Cleveland. You're going to win versus Cleveland. But then Detroit, Kansas City, Houston. And if you like the Rams like I do, Rams as well. I'm not saying that they are going to lose half of these games, but there is a world that exists where they come out 3-3 in that stretch and probably feel pretty good about it. And there's a world that exists that if things go a little bit south, that 2-4 is not out of the question. I mean, you were looking at highly, highly power rated teams in the Bills, Lions, Chiefs, Texans, and Rams all within the first 6 weeks of the season. So I think that's another reason from a Lamar standpoint specifically that I would be pumping the brakes. Now, if they start out 6-0, then yeah, it's going to be like you're going to have to lay money on him. But it's very unlikely that they start out 6-0 with that schedule.
And you'd probably see a little bit of a dip in the market based on which quarterback plays in that better in that initial matchup, right? That Thursday, you know, that Sunday night affair between the Ravens and the Bills. So if Lamar goes out there and has, you know, 3 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns, the Ravens win the game decidedly up in Buffalo, you know, that could be a scenario where all of a sudden his odds take a dip. And then if you're a Josh Allen believer and think that he can go back to back with MVPs, you might have an opportunity to take advantage of a better price in the marketplace at that point too.
The next little tier here is Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Jaden Daniels, and that's 650, 7-1 and 7.5-1 respectively on those guys. Hard for me to get to Burrow because I don't know that the Bengals are going to win enough games for him to get there. So that's a little tough for me. I'm a little down on the Chiefs comparatively to the market, so I wouldn't go Mahomes either. So I don't know how you feel about Cincinnati and Kansas City heading into the season, but I can't get to those guys either, shockingly enough.
Yeah, I think the only one to me is intriguing is Mahomes because of the value aspect at 7-1. And Mahomes talking about it openly during the course of the offseason that, you know, they're going to open up the offense a little bit more coming into the year. You know, the receiver threats that he does have out there in Kansas City. You know, the last time we saw Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, they were being browbeaten by the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl. That's the one. I agree with you about Burrow, even though I love Joe Burrow. I do. And I think he's a guy that makes everyone around him better. And he's got unbelievable weapons in T. Higgins and Jamar Chase out there in Cincinnati. The defense stinks. And so, you know, can they overcome? And when you look at a market, so you look at Burrow and his marketplace, Cincinnati historically gets off to horrendous starts, right? To the season. It's something that Zach Taylor has got to figure out. But if Burrow can stay upright, can he stay healthy? Can Cincinnati go out there and win enough games? Can that defense improve? How good does this Cincinnati offense have to be in order to make up for what is a really deficient Cincinnati Bengal defense, Matt?
Jalen Hurts at 17-1. I love the Eagles as a team. I don't know if Hurts is going to have the counting stats across the board to win an MVP for them. Justin Herbert, 18-1. CJ Stroud, 25, as is Baker Mayfield, as is Jordan Love. Then we get into some of these longer shot guys down the board here. Mark, was there anybody as you were looking at over the MVP market that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I think it's Jordan Love at 25-1. And I'll tell you the reason why. A couple of reasons is, number one is I'm a little concerned about that Detroit offensive line within the division, right? A little concerned about J.J. McCarthy being the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings within that division. I like the fact that Ben Johnson being the coach of the Chicago Bears, but you know, you crawl before you walk, walk before you run. Will that be beneficial to the Bears ultimately? Yeah, I think it will be, but I don't know if it necessarily is going to be that year number one. You look at the Green Bay Packers, right? They finally went out there, drafted a receiver in the first round. They've got weapons. You know that it's a talented team. They're good enough on defense as well. He's got the ground game to run to lean in on. I thought he took a little bit of a step back last year after a breakthrough season 2 years ago, and I could see him after a step back a year ago not being nearly as good, maybe taking a couple steps forward. Now, it's a long shot. It's 25-1. You have to understand that you're stepping into it, but I think the Green Bay Packers are going to be a team that's going to be a playoff team in the NFC. I think the quarterback, obviously the most important position in the National Football League. If you're asking me for one of those longer shots, Matt, to me it would be Jordan Love with the Packers at 25-1.
I went a little further down the board, and I'll go ahead and spoil mine that's over in the guide. By the way, an entire section dedicated to MVP over in the VSiN betting guide, but I went Matthew Stafford. And Listen, I have a love affair with this Rams team. I will go ahead. I'll say it right now. We're dating. We're not married quite yet, but we're dating. We'll see how this goes with this Rams team. But I really, really like the addition of Devontae Adams. It helps Puka Nacua really, I think, get the one-on-one coverage that he's going to that I think have a massive season for him. And the other reason I think that this is kind of a make today bet as opposed to a wait and see bet: Houston, Tennessee, Philly, Indy, San Francisco, first five games of the season. Now, it is on the road at Philly, but that is followed by a road. That game is followed by a road game in Tennessee. They'll probably just stay out. They'll probably just stay out on the East Coast. They'll probably go straight from Tennessee over to Philly. And it's early season. I'm worried a little bit less about early season travel than I am about later season travel. So there is a world that exists in which this team does start 5-0, and this 45-1, 50-1 that you can find out there in the market on Matt Stafford is cut in half or shorter than that. And so while we were talking about some of these, maybe you could wait, Mark, I think this is one you would want to make, because if this goes the way that it needs to for this bet to manifest, then the odds are just going to get cut in half.
Yeah, and you do know this, McVay is going to want to throw the football. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you about what the impact that Devontae Adams is going to have in that offense at the receiver room. My question for you, Matt, is as you're dating the Rams, is it steakhouse or is it Italian dinner for first date?
Oh, listen, it's steakhouse for me. I love me a steak, and I will spend the big bucks. I'll spend the big bucks right out of the gate, man. Like, give me that filet. I know, and don't yell at me about filets out there, people. And everyone's like, whatever, get a real steak, dude. No, I love filets, all right? I like salt. I like meat to be salt. That's what you're saying. All right. When we come back, we have our very own Greg Peterson going to give us some Major League Baseball plays right here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN Primetime here on a Wednesday. Matt Brown, Martin Melusis in for the guys, as we are joined here on the Progressive Guest Line by our very own Greg Peterson. Find him on the Twitter machine at GUnit_81. Greg, how goes it, buddy?
Things are going great. We've got ourselves 18 games on this Baseball Wednesday. Couldn't be happier.
Listen, we were talking before you came on. You backed me up on the filet thing. I knew we were here. I'm glad to hear that. And you didn't come on and go like, eat a ribeye like a real man. It's like, no, thank you. I appreciate you giving me the filet love there in all that. Before we get into the games that are in your account, no narrative play on the Dodgers with Kershaw going for 3,000, huh?
Not really for me. I just back the Dodgers anyway, though, on the run line, just because the Chicago White Sox are that bad. The Chicago White Sox have not won 9 games on the road this far this season. They are scoring fewer than 3 runs per game as well. And just like how you're talking about, a fillet should speak for itself. The numbers in this case very much speak for themselves for the Chicago White Sox, and this team is not good. And for Clayton Kershaw, he's been really rounding into form ever since that first start against the LA Angels, where he gives up the 4 runs. Since then, a sub-3 ERA. He's been able to get things rolling with the Chicago White Sox. You saw yesterday with the Dodgers, they put up 6 runs and you still got an under in that game. I think that you could get something similar here with the White Sox against Kershaw and a bullpen that, I mean, it's been pedestrian for the Dodgers. They just don't do their part with this game. So I do like the Dodgers on the run line, even though it's chalky, and I like the total under.
Greg, how about Royals and Mariners out in Seattle?
With this one, you've got Logan Gilbert, who's just been absolutely rolling for the Seattle Mariners. And I mean, the money line is chalky. It's right in that neighborhood of about a minus 175 or so. But that run line, you're able to get out a nice plus number. I'm seeing as high as like a plus 130, plus 135. I am very much willing to roll with it because Noah Cameron, I believe, is due him for some regression. He's given up 2 runs or fewer in all but 2 of his starts since he's come up to the big league level. But, and it's really been smoke and mirrors. He's still giving up about a home run per 9 innings. He's only getting about 6.5 strikeouts per 9. Recognize that Seattle is a very pitcher-friendly ballpark, but big dumper Cal Raleigh has gotten things going with north of 30 home runs. J.P. Crawford and company are doing a good job moving the line for the Royals. The bullpen has been solid, but I feel like the league is starting to catch up a little bit to Noah Cameron after his great success early on, and Logan Gilbert, north of 13 strikeouts per 9 innings. He is absolutely rolling with that 7. I think that's gotten a little bit too low, especially with being able to get as good as even money in some spots on the over. So like that 7 over, and I like that run line of Seattle.
About an hour from now, let's talk about another stud pitcher here. The Astros are on the road up in Colorado. This is Hunter Brown versus Austin Gomber. Big money line favorites, obviously, minus 274 for the Astros on the road, plus 217 for the Rockies at home here. A flat 11 is our total. How are you looking to play this one?
Yeah, I certainly played the Astros on the run line here, but I'm sure that not a lot of people are jonesing to lay -160, -170, but you can play the under here because Hunter Brown has been magnificent. Like with Hunter Brown, he has allowed 2 total runs in his last 4 starts, and for Hunter Brown, sub-175 ERA. Tarik Skubal has been absolutely amazing this year. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Hunter Brown deserves to be getting a little bit more credit than +$6 to win American League Cy Young. He has been that good. He's got the strikeout numbers. Sure, he's given up a few more walks than Tarik Skubal, but he's keeping the ball in the yard. He actually has a better ERA as well. Maybe he's not filling quite as many innings, but still, he has been tremendous for this Astros team. And additionally, for the Astros, if you do have Hunter Brown leave after like 6 to 7 innings, this team is number 3 in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. And for the Colorado Rockies, the one thing that has been moderately okay for them is that they've got guys like Victor Vodnik, Jimmy Herget and company that have been okay in the bullpen. And I recognize that Austin Gomber, he has given up 10 runs in his last 2 starts, but it is an Astros team that they themselves have had their struggles on offense. So with this 11 total, recognize it's a roll of the dice out there in Coors Field. I do like the under.
How about Giants and Diamondbacks out in Arizona with Merrill Kelly on the mound for the D-backs?
Boy, has it been a struggle for the San Francisco Giants. Losers of 7 out of their last 8 games. They're starting to make me an offer that I can't refuse. So this number has went up north of plus 130. This was when I was doing the show overnight, it was more like a minus 130 or so on the Arizona Diamondbacks. So it shot up 20 plus cents. I'm willing to take a shot here on the Giants because I do think that for Landon Roop, he's able to go out there, give you a good start. He has been keeping the ball in the yard with less than a home run allowed per 9 innings. And this is still a Giants bullpen that is number 1 in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. And for Merrill Kelly, all throughout his career, has always been so much better when he has been at home rather than on the road. ERA falls by north of a full point for his career at home. And that total of 8.5, I recognize it's a little bit low for Arizona, especially considering it's a top 5 offense in the Arizona Diamondbacks, but also having Corbin Carroll on the injured list hurts them a little bit. And the Giants flat out just have not hit in this losing streak. A lot of times the pitching has been okay. There have been a few exceptions there, but the offense has not really been able to get it rolling. So here at this 8.5, I do like that total under.
Talking to our very own Greg Peterson. Greg, as I get ready to ask you this question, the Blue Jays have put up a 7 spot in the first inning on the Yankees and still going
yes.
In this one. But American League East, we look at the Yankees faltering here lately, and Blue Jays, Rays, even Red Sox, you could put them in the discussion here. How do you think this division ends up playing out?
By the way, I took the Blue Jays and the over, so yeah, trust me, I am very happy about that. So thank you for informing me. You're making my night right here. But that said, I think that the value's on the Tampa Bay Rays. For the Tampa Bay Rays, they might not be built for a 5 or 7 game series because they do have a lot of depth. They might be built for 162, though, and we do have to be asking ourselves, who are the real New York Yankees? I don't think that they're as bad as this team has played the last 20 games. Paul Goldschmidt in the month of June hit for less than $1.50. He's going to hit a little bit better than that moving forward. Anthony Volpe was a big fat disappointment in the month of June. I think that he's going to hit a little bit better than that. That said, the Tampa Bay Rays team is very balanced. They've got rock solid pitching with the likes of Drew Rasmussen, Ryan Pepiot and company on the bump as starters. The bullpen is one of the more expansive ones that you're going to find out there in all of baseball. And the offense, top 7 in the big leagues. I think that there's real value in the Tampa Bay Rays being able to find a way to persevere. We have seen them in the past be able to pick up some interesting guys. Like, I still remember a few years ago, they needed to go for it a little bit more. They picked up Nelson Cruz at the trade deadline. They're not going to make a big splash unlike the New York Yankees might, but I think that the Tampa Bay Rays are built for 162. I think that they could be able to win the division, and perhaps they play the Yankees in a 5 or 7 game series and they lose. But you're just looking at this from the division and the division only. I think that the value is on the race.
How about, I'm curious, let's switch leagues and go over to the National League, stay within the East. What about as the Phillies entered play today, 2 games up on the New York Mets, who have obviously been floundering right around, lost earlier to Milwaukee, scoreless right now, and they're in the top half of the second game of a doubleheader. How about that National League East, Greg?
It's all about which team is going to acquire a little bit more at the trade deadline. And that's why I still think that there's a little bit of value on the Mets. I wouldn't want to bet it right now because it's anyone's guess where they might be a few weeks from now, because right now they're trotting out their Frankie Montas and Paul Blackburn for starts, with having some of these guys go on the injury list. Kodai Senga right now deal with ailment, Tyler McGill deal with injury as well. That's really hurt this team. And the guys that they were relying upon to come back have not produced. I think that Sean Manaea is going to be a good pickup for them, by the way. But if I did have to bet this right now, I would look at the Mets just because I can bank on them making moves. I'm just not quite sure what the Phillies would do, but I'd want to see the moves before I could really fully buy in as well, because it could be a case where the Mets, when it comes to the trade deadline, they're 4 or 5 games back. And even when they get those pieces, they might have dug themselves too big of a hole to climb out of.
Greg, when we're done here, you're going to take over. What you got on tap tonight?
Absolutely. Well, we're going to be taking a look at a relatively solid slate of baseball, and I've been doing something called Greg's Random Football Roulette. I was tasked with doing a whole bunch of days in a row, so I've taken 16 days, and we're going to do 2 teams a night, hour number 2, hour number 3. I just pick a team by random. I go to a website called random.org, whichever team I have not previewed, and that is on top. That is the team that I preview. This is going to be night number 8 of the 16-night extravaganza, so we're going to preview some football, we're going to preview some baseball, and have some good clean family fun.
There you go, buddy. He is Greg Peterson at GUnit_81 over there on the Twitter machine. Greg, appreciate it, buddy, and we'll be listening tonight.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Greg.
So, Mark, I'm sitting here looking, as we said, Clayton Kershaw, very, very likely to get 3,000 tonight. He's sitting at 29.97 and going up against the White Sox. The next closest guy is Chris Sale at 25.28, and Chris Sale is 36 years old. Gerrit Cole behind him way down at 22.51. He's 34 years old. Are we ever, with the way that we do pitching now, are we ever going to see another 3,000 strikeout guy?
Yeah, that's a great question. And let's not forget Cole coming off Tommy John surgery. Yeah. So usually it takes guys 2 years to come all the way back from that. Is he going to get better with time? The strikeouts have gone down to a little bit as compared to where he was when he was with the Houston Astros. But I'd probably make the argument no, due to the velocity, mm-hmm. that we will never see anybody else get to 3,000. Sale's been great with Atlanta. He's banged up now with the fractured rib, but in the reigning Cy Young Award winner in the National League due to the fact that the velocity that guys throw at, the amount of injuries that you see, and the also the fact, Matt, the other aspect is starters are looked at differently now than they were 20, 30 years ago. They don't get pushed into games. They don't go third time through a lineup. You're not able to rack up those strikeouts. So Kershaw might be the final guy.
Yeah, might be a reason to watch tonight. Might be the last time we see it for a very long time. When we come back, we'll take a look at that Major League Baseball scoreboard and get into those late games.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN Primetime here on a Wednesday. Matt Brown, Mark Melusis. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us for the next few hours. Be it on Channel 158, our own Sirius XM, YouTube TV, our very own VSiN Watch app, our terrestrial stations across this great country of ours, as we look in on the Major League Baseball scoreboard, in which, oh boy, this Yankees team that we said was struggling, they're struggling out the gate, that is for sure. 7-0 Blue Jays on top, heading into the bottom of the second inning. Yes, it was 6 hits in the first inning by Toronto to go along with a couple of walks from Will Warren as well. So things not going well for this Yankees team that we said certainly hemorrhaging right now.
Oh, no question. I mean, Will Warren gives up a 3-run home run, then a 2-run home run. It's a Yankee team that's scuffling along. We were just talking with Greg about the American League East and the latest lines. When you're looking at it, they've got the Rays and the Blue Jays right behind them. And Warren isn't even able to get out of the bottom of the first inning, where this team now is right up against it. We kicked off the program talking a little bit of baseball, Matt, tonight, and talking about the Yankees and their struggles. And obviously they're a national brand, and we all know the pinstripes and the road grays and the expectations coming into the year. And, you know, you faded them coming into the season, maybe end up being correct. After the loss of Juan Soto before the start of the year, and the way that this team started the season and the way that this team looks right now, because the rotation has been good with Fried and Rodon. Outside of that, it's been very, very hit and miss. The lineup isn't really consistent. The bullpen's taken on has been leaky as of late as well. Weaver has not looked the same since coming off the IL. And now they're in a Toronto team. And I'm one of those guys, I never believe in the Toronto Blue Jays as much, you know. And this was not a year that anybody really believed in the Toronto Blue Jays. And look at the way they're playing right now. And it'd be hard pressed to think that the Yankees, with the way that they're playing, are going to come back and threaten the Toronto Blue Jays in this game. If they do, that's kind of victory that could change around the course of this first half before the All-Star break. I just don't think it's going to happen.
When we came on air, some of these games were already going. Phillies and Padres are heading to the bottom of the sixth inning. Phillies up 4-1 there in that one over the Padres. The Twins and Marlins. Twins up 2-1 right now on the Marlins in the top of the fifth inning. Of course, the Marlins riding that 8-game win streak right now. All 8 as dogs, I might add, in that 8-game win streak. So we'll see if they can pull this one out. Only 2 hits for them so far there in that one. We're in the top of the fourth, Tigers and Nationals. And I don't feel like I'm jinxing anything. It's the fourth inning, but the Tigers don't have a hit. So, I mean, whatever. Mackenzie Gore hadn't given up a hit, but it's only the fourth inning. So, I mean, like, whatever. It's only the fourth inning. I don't feel like I'm jinxing anything there with that one. Nats up 3-0. There on the Tigers. Red Sox, an early run against the Reds, and then the Angels, 2 in the first inning against the Braves. And I think this Braves team, I was talking about this yesterday, Mark, like, everybody keeps trying to make a case for the Braves and say, oh, they're going to come back, you know, don't worry about it, and these guys will come around. If you dig yourself a hole too big, it might be too much to come back from, even if your dudes do come around, and this Braves team just keeps losing.
Yeah, they keep losing. Unless they're playing the Mets, they keep on losing. I mean, that's it. And it's, you're right. And it's also, they got off to the horrendous start to the year. And you said, well, they're too good of a team. You know, their win total was in the low to mid 90s to begin the year. They're too good of a team to be this bad. And you're not wrong with that assessment, but then you throw on the injuries that they have suffered. And when you have the kind of injuries that they have had, then the downturn, then the lack of consistent play. You know, that's led this Atlanta team. And I was one of those guys maybe 3-4 weeks ago, Matt, where I thought Atlanta was going to get themselves back into it. I have a hard time thinking. I think they are what they are at this stage of the year, even in a long MLB regular season. Mets turned their year around. They were 11 games under 500 a year ago. They were late May, right? Now yeah. We're looking at early July, and the Braves have played like this entire year. It's have a hard time envisioning they're all of a sudden going to turn around.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because heading into the season, you certainly thought like, okay, you gave him a pass because Acuna wasn't out there, right? And you're like, okay, when Acuna comes back, everything will be fine. It has not been fine. And like I said, you dig yourself a hole too big, and I don't know if you're going to be able to come back from it. I can tell you right now, my Brewers bet is not looking good as Nimmo hits a grand slam for the Mets there in that one in the bottom of the second. So 4-0 Mets over the Brewers over there in that one. Let's talk about some of these games, Mark, that are still to come. We have the Guardians and the Cubs in about 15 minutes. This is Tanner Bibee versus Shota Imanaga. The Cubs minus 168 at home. The Guardians plus 138 on the road. 8.5 is our total here in this one. A little too rich for me to back the Cubs. I don't like backing the Guardians at their current state either, the way that they're playing. So just going to be a pass for me.
Yeah, I'd probably take over the total. Mm-hmm. You know, Imanaga is, you look at his home and road splits, he's been dominant on the road as compared to at home. When you're looking at his ERA, I think his ERA on the road is 0.98 as compared to at home. I think you're going to get runs tonight between the Guardians and the Cubs. I would take the over the total. I don't have a real lean in terms of the side, which side I like. I think you're going to get runs tonight, though, Matt.
Orioles on the road at the Rangers. This is Sugano versus Eovaldi. This is minus 163 Rangers at home, plus 133 Orioles on the road. A flat 8 is our total here in this one. What can you say about this Orioles team and how bad that they've been? There's really nothing more that we can say about how terrible that this Orioles team is. I can't believe, talk about a team that I just can't believe is as bad as they are, but they're absolutely terrible. I'm sure there will come a time where it feels like there's value in backing them. I can't get there right now. The over on the 8 is juiced to 116, I should say. So it does look like somebody thinks there's going to be some runs scored in this thing.
Yeah, and your assessment of Baltimore is correct. I mean, it wasn't all that long ago, Matt, that they won 101 games during the course of the regular season. That was this, you know, teeming with young talent, everything. You know, they don't have pitching. I mean, it's a problem. And some of those young prospects haven't really developed into the players that you probably expected them to be for the Baltimore Orioles. I think it's Rangers or nothing, even though I don't love Texas. You know, Eovaldi's been okay this year. When you're looking at, you know, 4-3 on the season, I think is, you know, he's got a, you know, pretty good ERA on the year. To me, it's Rangers or nothing. It's a hard time. I agree that there'll probably be a point where there's value to back the Baltimore Orioles. I don't think that point is on this Wednesday night.
Yeah, I think there's a time we could get there. I just not gonna be today for me, that's for sure. We talked about this game with Greg a little bit, the Astros and the Rockies, Hunter Brown versus Austin Gomber. Minus 281 Astros now on the road against this Rockies team, plus 223 at home as dogs. 11 is the total. Greg likes the under based off the fact that we're getting Hunter Brown out there. I want a different way of attacking this and just Hunter Brown over 6.5 strikeouts in this thing, Mark. I think that this is a little underpriced because typically the way that you've heard this about Colorado, where the breaking pitches don't break as much and all that. Like, I'd have thought this would be 7.5 with Hunter Brown, the way that he's been throwing. You look at a guy here over his last 5 starts with a 1.16 ERA backed up by a 2.62 xERA and a 2.76 FIP and a 223 XFIP. I mean, he's been absolutely crazy with a K rate in his last 5 starts of 34.2% with just a 6.3% walk rate, 13.4% swinging strikes as well for him. So
ridiculous.
Yeah, just these stats are absolutely absurd. If you wanted a fun ticket, I don't think it's crazy to put in a ticket on him for Cy Young. I understand Skubal has been fantastic, but there's a lot of season left, Mark, and I'm not wishing injury on anybody, but I mean, Skubal ends up having to miss a month of the season. I mean, a Hunter Brown ticket is going to look really, really good. So I think he's right there neck and neck with him. But tonight I need 7 strikeouts. And so over 6.5 Ks for me for Hunter Brown.
Yeah, I think on the year, you mentioned last 5 starts, 34.2. I think on the year, his strikeout rate is at about 32%, a tad over that, 32.1%. So I'd agree with that. I don't really, I mean, the only way to play would be the Astros. But I mean, they're too heavy of a favor in the game. I think you sit back, relax, and you watch one of the best pitchers in all of Major League Baseball and Hunter Brown go to work, and you root for K's to back Matt Brown tonight.
There we go. Edge Boost, guys, is your first ever bank account built for bettors out there. It ensures that all gambling transactions are approved, so you don't have any usage fees, no minimums. You can get cash back as well, and 100% approval for all of those betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet. Use the promo code PRIME, P-R-I-M-E. And when you do, deposit $25 in Edge Boost will actually match that deposit. So head on over to edgeboost.com, E-D-G-E-B-O-O-S-T.B-E-T, and use the promo code PRIME. Deposit 25 and Edge Boost will match that deposit. Boy, sometimes you just, sometimes it actually feels good, Mark, when you can just go ahead and like lose a bet like early on.
Early?
Yeah, Lindor goes solo jack, so now 5-0 Mets in that one. I'm kind of like,
oh, they're celebrating Queens.
Hey, I'm like, you know what? I'd rather it just happen now and I don't have to sweat it. You know, sometimes you give out a bad handicap and this is a bad handicap. 5-0 Mets in the top of the third inning there in that one. So Mizrowski's got a lot of potential tonight. Didn't have it. Was catching way too much of the plate. Like, that's the other thing. Doesn't matter if you throw 100, if you throw it down the middle, right?
No, guys are going to hit it, especially in the major leagues. And it just shows you how difficult of a game baseball is. I mean, the Mets have an opener. You have one of the young dominant starters in Major League Baseball going on the opposite side. The Mets have won 3 of their last 17 games, and here they are up 5-0 in the top of the third.
Just absolutely destroying stuff. Guys, when we come back in this football-heavy show, as our NFL guy just came out, we're going to take a look at the AFC North, see if there's anything Mark likes in that division.